worship Him. Certainly we are thankful for His mercy, for His long-suffering in allowing us to be at this moment in time and at this place. We're grateful to see everyone who has come, and we are trusting that once we have concluded our services on today, that God will be pleased with what we have offered unto Him. Trust that we'll offer Him our best.
Yes.
For I remember in the book of Malachi, when they were offering God anything, and He said, offer that to your governors and see if they'll be pleased. He was simply saying, I'm not pleased with what you're offering me. So let's make sure that we're offering God our best, not only in this service, but each and every day of our lives. We should be offering God our best. Good to see those who are visiting with us today. If this is your first time visiting with us, we want to encourage you to fill out a visitor's card. We want to have a record of your attendance. And certainly we trust that if you live in the area that you'll come and be with us again and again. Glad to see Brother Malone back. He's been away for a few weeks now, he and his family, and we're grateful that they are back with us. And again, as it has been said, we certainly are thankful to all of those who have served our country and who are serving our country. We thank God for all that you have done and all that you are doing. As you know, for the last few weeks, except last Sunday, of course, I was away, and I do thank the brothers who spoke in my absence on last Sunday. But for the last few weeks, I have been dealing with the topic, daily spiritual renewal. Daily spiritual renewal. I talked about how Satan wants to distract us, want to get our minds on something else so that we'll lose our focus from what it ought to be. I talked about we need to have a daily renewal of our love for the Lord. We need to have a daily renewal for our love for the Lord's Word. We need to have a daily renewal for our love for the Lord's church. You notice that on each one of those times, the operative word in our lesson was love. Satan don't want us to love. We can do it, but just don't love to do it. That'll be good enough for Satan. Do it, but just don't love to do it. Because he knows that God says if we do it without love, it doesn't profit us anything. Don't let Satan win at his game. Let's have a daily renewal. Again, as I've said, the devil would like nothing better than to distract us from our spiritual goal so that we will no longer focus on the eternal, but we will keep our mind upon the temporal. Again, it is needful that each day that the Lord blesses us to see, that we constantly renew our spiritual or our inner man. Today, then, I will focus on emphasizing the importance of renewing our love for one another. That's very important because Satan can distract us, influence us to stop loving one another. Oh, I love you for a while, Frank. But after a while, I ain't going to love you. That's what Satan wants. Because he wants death to catch me in that after a while period when I'm not loving you. Don't let Satan distract us. In the verses that were read this morning by Brother Devonair, this was right after the Passover feast that the Lord had eaten with his apostles, and he had washed their feet. But the Bible says something very interesting in verse 31. It says that he was troubled in his spirit. And it says that the reason why he was troubled was because he says, one of you are going to betray me. The Bible says that when he said that, they began to look at one another, wondering who it might be. Of course, Matthew's account of it says, they all said, Lord, is it I? And so Peter says to the one that was laying on his breast, ask him, who is it? And Jesus says, the one that sop with me, that's who it is. And the Bible says that Judas sop with it. And immediately he went out. And the scripture that was read then takes up from that point onward. I want to focus this morning on verses 34 and 35. Again, the scripture says there, where Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Those statements that were made there seemed like that they didn't have any relation to what he had been talking about. Why would he interject loving one another in the midst of talking about who was going to betray him? If you continue to read down about verse 38, he says, not only is one going to betray me, but one is going to deny me. And of course, he named that one who it was. So he talked about one is going to betray him, one is going to deny him, but he also talked about where I'm going, you can't follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. What does love have to do with those things? These apostles, of course, had been with Jesus. He'd walked with them. He'd talked with them. They had been his buddies, if you will. But now something is about to happen. And Jesus didn't want the something that was going to happen. Number one, the betrayal. Number two, the denial. Number three, his going to the cross. He didn't want these things to distract them from loving one another. You see, sometimes things that happen around us, and they get us out of our norm, if you will, these things can influence how we behave one to another. So Jesus is saying, basically, in spite of the fact that Judas is going to deny me, in spite of the fact that Judas is going to betray me, and in spite of the fact that Peter is going to deny me, in spite of the fact that I'm going to the cross, don't let these things distract you from loving one another. I'm going to the cross. And basically, I guess, when you take that scenario, Jesus is saying to them that I'm going to die, but I still want you to love one another. I haven't had the experience of sitting by the bedside of my parents when they died, but this happens on many occasions. Of course, I was up here when my father died of a heart attack, so I was not there. My mom died, she had dementia, severe dementia, so she couldn't have this last conversation, so to speak. But I do know that conversations like this take place. And they would say to the children, children, I want y'all to stick together. I want y'all to love one another. Look out for one another. Protect one another. Help one another. I think this is what Jesus was saying. I want y'all to stick together. But again, Satan don't want that. He wants us, when we see things going on around about us, to get all excited and to cave in and turn in on one another. That's all never happened among God's folks. God's folks need to love one another. But church, this morning I tell you, it won't happen like God wants it to happen unless we have this daily renewal of it. Because again, Satan want to catch us on that day, and you know how y'all say it, or how we say it, when we get up on the wrong side of the bed and tell somebody, oh, I'm going out here today, and I'm going to give my supervisor a piece of my mind. My so-and-so been messing with me, so I'm going to take care of him or her today. That's what Satan wants us to do. But unless we have a daily renewal, that'll happen. No wonder when the Hebrew writer wrote to the Christians, the Hebrew Christians, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 1, he said, let brotherly love continue. Don't let it be an off and on thing. Every now and then occasion, but he said, let it continue. Let this thing go on and on and on, but it won't go on and on if we're going to turn it off and turn it on when we feel like turning it on and turning it off. It needs to be a continuous thing. And the only way that will happen, again, is a daily renewal. So again, the Lord didn't want his apostles, his disciples, to become distracted from loving one another, because if they became distracted from that, they would negate their purpose. Their purpose was to love one another, to imitate the Lord, so that the world would know that they were his disciples. Do you not know that's our purpose as children of God? As members of the body of Christ,
yes, sir.
Our purpose is to let the world know that we are following Christ. But if they see us not loving one another, how will they ever know that we're following Christ? So don't let Satan distract you from your purpose. Every day that you wake up, you need to have the mind that I'm going to renew my love one for another. So he wanted them then again to have an impact on the world. It was said about the early Christians, oh, how they love one another.
One of the most profound comments made regarding the early church came from the lips of a man named Aristides. He was sent by Emperor Hadrian to spy out those strange Christians known as Christians. This comes from church history. But when he went there, carrying out his mission to spy out on these strange Christians, he came back with a mixed report to the emperor. And among the things that he said, "Behold how they love one another." And that statement is recorded in history of how this man noticed the interaction, the camaraderie, and the love that these Christians had for one another. I wonder today, as people observe us, would they be able to make that same statement? If you look at yourself and I look at myself, and if we are honest with ourselves and realize we're not conducting ourselves as the Lord has instructed us to conduct ourselves about this love thing, we need to change. We need to change. And we need to get it right. Because this is the only time we got to get it right. In this life, that is. After this life, we can't get it right. Brother Stone prayed in his prayer. I hope you were listening to him, those of us who are here. When he says, after death, we don't have a chance after that. When we close our eyes in death, if we have not loved like Jesus has taught us to love, we're going to have problems at the judgment. I don't want no problems at the judgment. I'm sure you don't want any problems at the judgment. Therefore, again, I'm urging us, I'm beseeching us, I'm begging us to make sure that we renew our love one for another. It's no wonder then that when the church had its beginning, as Mr. Aristides testified to the fact, it's no wonder that they had so much favor with the people that observed them. The people observed them, the Bible says, well, the Bible didn't say the people observed, but I'm making this commentary from it. According to Acts chapter 2, these Christians, they were so in love with one another until they sold their possessions and they had all things in common. And they went from house to house, eating their meat with singleness of heart and with gladness. And the Bible says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Why was the Lord able to do that? Because these people, they were exhibiting love for one another. They never would have done what they did if they hadn't loved one another. They weren't forced to do it. As a matter of fact, you know, a man by the name of Ananias got in trouble for doing something, telling a lie that he had sold his land and he had brought everything that he got for the land and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, "You didn't have to lie. It was yours. You could do what you want. Nobody forced you to do that." So nobody forced these people to sell their land. Nobody forced them to go from house to house and to eat their meals with singing of heart. This was something they wanted to do because of their love for the Lord and the love that they had, their voluntarily love that they had for one another. And when folks observed that, God was able to do wonders, adding folks to the Lord's body. If we get a little bit more love, I believe We see some of the same thing happening now. Let's love one another as Jesus has loved us. But again, as I've said, it must be a continuous love. And not only must be it a continuous love, but it needs to be an increasing love. Everybody know what increasing means. More and more of this love. Listen to what the church was instructed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, who had it pretty good with their love, but the Apostle Paul was led by the Spirit to tell them, you're doing pretty good with it, but I want you to do even better. Listen to what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But notice what the last part of it says. But we beseech you, we beg you, brethren, that you do what? Increase more and more. In other words, we can't get to a certain point of our love and say, I've loved enough. There's no stopping point for our love. There's no limit to our love. I've loved enough, so I ain't going to love any more than this. Paul says, you're doing fine, basically. But you can even do better. And I'm begging you to do that. But again, if we get caught up in all the distractions that's going on around about us, we'll turn in on one another. Let's keep on increasing in our love. But every day that we wake up, that's got to be our mindset. That I'm going to love a little bit more today. You know, love is a sign of godliness. If we really want to be godly, we've got to be people that love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of who? Is of God. And then he goes on and he says, And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? For God is love. So again, let us never grow tired of loving each other. And sometimes when you love folks, folks won't necessarily love you back. But you keep on loving them anyway. As a matter of fact, you're not responsible for them and their love. The only somebody's love you're responsible for is your love. That's the only only love I'm responsible for is my love. My love towards you needs to be right. Your love toward me needs to be right. Now, if I decide not to love you, that's my problem. You decide to not love me, that's your problem. But we are to love folks in spite of how they love us. Because you know what? Loving folks is a part of doing good. And sometimes, again, the devil will distract us and say, You just giving folks all this love. You extending all this love to folks. You're just doing good things. You're just doing kind deeds and saying good things to people. And people just turn their nose up at you, and then they just mistreat you, and they talk about you, and they run your name all down in the ground and those kind of things. Why you keep doing that kind of stuff? We need to keep doing it because of what Galatians chapter 4, or rather chapter 6 says, and verse number 9, rather, said, Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due time you reap if you faint not. So eventually, love is going to pay off for us. You get some pay in this life, no doubt, but if you don't get it in this life, if you keep doing what God said do, it'll pay off in the end. That's really when I want my pay, is in the end. So don't become weary when folks won't love you. You keep on loving them. Because true love is really not so much thinking about yourself and appeasing yourself and making yourself feel good. It's about reaching out to others. It seeks the best for others. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. And all of those things talk about love, not pointing toward the individual that's doing it, but it's reaching out to somebody else. Why should we be such a loving people? Well, we ought to be such a loving people, not only because the Lord commands us to be a loving people, but we ought to be a loving people because we are all members one of another. You got a little bit of part of me. I got a little bit of part of you. So if I don't love you, that means I'm not loving me. You don't love me, that means you're not loving you. We are all connected together. I'm talking about spiritually. Yes, members of the body of Christ. Amen. We are all members one of another. Romans 12 and verse 5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. The devil again wants to distract us along this point. He wants to keep us looking at each other from a physical standpoint. But we need to look at each other from a spiritual standpoint. We're all connected together spiritually. And that's what counts anyway. That's why when Paul wrote the very first scripture that I started out with when I started these series of lessons, when Paul talked about all of the things that were happening to him, but he said he's not letting those things, I'm paraphrasing, not in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he wasn't going to let those things bother him. He gets down to verse number 16, he says, for the outward man perish. He says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He says, for we look not at the things that are seen. Because the things that are seen, he says, they are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. For we know, if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We got to keep looking at things from a spiritual perspective. And so we may not like what a person do physically, but we still got to love that person. Somebody said, I can like you, but I don't have to love you. No, Jesus said, we got to love them. We got to love them. But Satan, again, will keep us distracted. So again, every time we get up, we got to get up with that mindset. And I'm going to renew my love for one another. In order to have the same care, one for another, we got to love, folks. Look at what the Bible says, talking about this being members one of another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 25, in 26, the Bible said that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care. Notice he didn't say just have care. He said the same care. Should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer. Well, so-and-so is going through some problems and some suffering, but, you know, that's just so-and-so. But then another so-and-so going through those problems. Oh, we better go see what we can help them with. Let's encourage them, but we're not concerned about the other so-and-so. We can't be that way. He said we got to have the same care, one for another. So, again, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members do what? Rejoice with it. If you're not careful, the devil will get in the mix here. Yes. And interject some jealousy there. Because I don't want this person to be honored. I want all the honor for myself. So I can't rejoice with them. I walk out the room if they're being honored. Devil can do some stuff, boy. Yes, sir. But we need to have so much love for one another. One is being honored, then all the members rejoice with that person that's being honored. Here's another thing that the devil really can play havoc with. You know how hard it is sometimes to love your enemies? I already said that you got to love folks whether they love you right or not. Now, basically, enemies don't love us right. But you know what Jesus says? We got to love them right. We got to love them. That was Jesus' attitude while on the cross. Remember what the verse says in John 13 that we started out with? He says, as I have loved you. Look at some love that Jesus has demonstrated even on the cross toward his enemies. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 33 and 34, the Bible says this. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, and this is in reference to those who have crucified him. Then said Jesus, Father, do what? Forgive them. Forgive them. For they know not what they do. A lot of time when our enemies, well, most of the time, when they're against us, and we're doing the right thing, they don't really realize what they're doing. But we got to forgive them anyway. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, if nothing was wrong with what they was doing, why did they need forgiveness? That's why he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this is what we must do to be like our Heavenly Father. You know, we all say, God is my Father. A lot of folks say, the Lord who's the head of my life. And he needs to be the head of our lives. He needs to be our spiritual Father. But Jesus says, this is the way you become like your Father. In Matthew 5 and verse 43, the Bible says, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say unto you. In other words, Jesus said, close the book on what you've heard. You open the book now and listen to what I'm saying. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. In other words, when you look at this statement, and when you understand what this statement is really saying, that if we can't do that, we're not really God's children. He said, you do this that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So if you're going to love somebody, if I can use it like this, and I know this is not the right grammatical term in English. If you're going to love somebody back the way they love you, Jesus said that won't cut it. Again, your love towards somebody else don't depend on their love towards you. And I've said this 1,000 times if I said it once. The way we treat folks should never be dependent upon how they treat us. We need to treat folks right because that's what God commands and expects of us. If they ever or never treat us right, one day we've still got to treat them right. I mean, is it challenging? Yes, it's challenging. No doubt about it. It's challenging. But Jesus has commanded us to do it. And if we want to please God, We got to grow to that point. We'll quickly say, and quickly say, first, I read Philippians 4:13 is my favorite scripture. You know what that scripture says? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But we don't, when it comes to loving folks who are our enemies, we don't want Christ to strengthen us to do that. I don't want your strength. I want to rely upon my strength. And as Brother Dennis was talking this morning, if we rely upon our strength, we'll never be fruitful in that area, because we'll never do it in and of ourselves. Because the natural man says, I treat you the way you treat me. That's not what the spiritual man is taught by God. So don't let other folks' action toward us dictate how we act toward them. Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. But unless I wake up every day with that on my mind, somebody going to catch me because I got up on the wrong side of the bed. And I'm gonna act out how I got up. And I'm in trouble with God. So I need to have a daily renewal of my love one for another. We need to learn to, as I begin to close, to let God do his job. Vengeance is God's job. It's not our job. Romans 12:17-21 points that out. Having then the proper love shows that we have the love of God dwelling in us. And brothers and sisters, we need the love of God dwelling in us. And sometimes, again, as I've been saying off and on in my sermon, sometimes people will not treat us right when we love them right. Sometimes people will still hate us. 1 John 3:11, the Bible says, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. Abel did good. He did the right thing. Cain could have done the same thing, and he would have been accepted by God. But he hated his brother for doing the right thing. A lot of folks may hate you because you do the right thing. But when you can continue to love them, again, that shows that we have the love of God dwelling in us. Verse 13 of that passage says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's good enough right there for us to love one another. Because if we don't love one another, we are basically living in death. And it's not the physical death, but it's eternal separation from God. Yes, if we leave this world not loving our brother. So every day when we wake up, we need to wake up with that mindset that I'm going to love my brother, and I'm going to love folks the way God has commanded me. The devil doesn't want God's love dwelling in us. So he tries to distract us in every way that he possibly can. I'm saying again, as I've said so many times, make sure the devil don't win. He's out to get us. And Jesus knew that. That's why he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. I know you're probably going to get upset with Judas because he betrayed me. But don't let that stop you from loving one another. you're probably going to have some bad vibes toward Peter because he denied. But don't let that stop you from loving one another. And I've been with you all this time, but I'm going to the cross. Don't let that stop you from loving one another. As a matter of fact, he would say, he carries the conversation on into chapter 14 when he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't become so agitated. Don't become so distracted that you can't love one another. Keep on loving one another, because even though I'm going to the cross ain't going to keep me. I'm going back to heaven, and I'm going to prepare a place for you where you can go with me. Remember what he says? You can't follow me now. I got to go and take care of business now. But later on, you can follow me. Later on, you can be in heaven with me. But if you don't love one another like you ought to, you're going to miss heaven. So I say to us again this morning, let's have a daily spiritual renewal in our love one for another. It's a commandment of the Lord, and we want to show the world that we are the Lord's disciples. We want to have so much favor with all the people that the Lord will be able to add to the church, such as should be saved. Don't stand in the way of people being added to the church, because we got a love problem. Let's love one another. If you're here then this morning and you're subject to the master's call, you may not be a member of the body of Christ. I want you to know that Jesus loved you as he loved all of us. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. It was love that sent Jesus to the earth in order to die on yonder's cross. He died, and they buried him, but he got up on the third day morning. And that brought good news to the world, because before that happened, mankind had no way of getting out of his sins. But once that happened, man now could be redeemed from his sins. That's good news. That's what the gospel is all about. You need to believe in Jesus then, as the Son of God, who came and did what God had for him to do. Believe in him as the Son of God. And then turn from your sins, from your evil way. Because the Bible says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Make the good confession that you do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then go down in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins. Don't let the devil distract you by various doctrines that are out there in the world that tell you that baptism is not essential to salvation. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, says that in order to be saved, you must be baptized in that watery grave. And baptism is a burial. It's not a sprinkling. It's not a pouring. It's a burial. Paul says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That means you've got to be covered up. A burial is a covering up. When you obey the Lord in that fashion, he'll then add you to the church. The one that you can read about in the New Testament is the church of Christ. Jesus bled and died and shed his blood, not only to forgive us and to make it possible for our sins to be forgiven, but in order also to purchase the church. And the church is that institution here on earth that God wants all people to be members of in order to come home to heaven. The church then is the doorway or the gateway to get into heaven. Do you need to become a member of the body of Christ this morning? Why not do that? Or if maybe you have a problem with your love, some of these things I've talked about this morning, you have a problem with, you need to get it right today. Or maybe some other things that's wrong in your life, you need to get it right today. That's called repentance. A change of mind that leads to a change of action. That's repentance. And then let me define it even further. It's a change of mind toward the things that are wrong, to a change of actions to the things that are right. Because you see, you can change from one way to another and still be wrong. You got to change to that. Change and do what God wants you to do. That's what true repentance is all about. You need to confess of it every way then. Why not come this morning? Now, maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, while we're standing now, while we're singing, we'll call you to come. Down from the cross for me, as a victim of sin for my Savior on me, in his suffering Calvary. Is that why that needs to come? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come to the Lord? Come to the Lord this morning. And